A moment, we'll open our Bibles to John chapter 13. But first, let's go before the throne of God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm here at the microphone. I'm here at the position to declare your word. Father, I want to simply help other people as well as myself better understand who you are, all that you are, all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the bloody cross. I thank you for a bloody cross on which the Prince of Peace, Son of God, Messiah, Savior, gave his life. Gave his life that those who would believe and receive might have life. And I want to thank you, Father, that you permitted me to believe and to receive. And Father, I have no doubt there are those who will be listening to this message. Some have believed and received. Some have not yet believed and received. And yet there are some, Father, who will believe and receive. And I'm asking you to anoint me to teach this in such a way as to strengthen and encourage those who have believed and received, and perhaps help those who have not yet believed and received to believe and receive. Father, there's no greater blessing in all the universe than to be adopted into the family of God. To be able at any moment of the day to simply speak to the Father, to you, Heavenly Father, because of what Christ Jesus did on the cross. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that on the cross, you took upon yourself all of my sins, as well as all the sins of all who would believe and who would receive. And you put those sins to death in yourself. You became everything that God hated, that I might become an object of his love. And what is true of me is true of all who will believe. You became what God hated because God hates sin. God hates sin in every expression of sin. And God loves. God is love. But you on that cross, as you took upon yourself the sins of all who would believe and receive, on that cross with all that sin which he hates, you became, you could not even, as you cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because of that awesome, awesome time on the cross, when you would take upon yourself the sin of the adulterer, the fornicator, the liar, the thief, the sodomite, the lesbian, the homosexual, all of it, on that cross, you who knew no sin became sin. So that those of us who would be willing to believe and receive could be made the righteousness of God in you, Lord Jesus. And for that, we're thankful. And so, Father, as we come to the Word today, I'm asking you to anoint me to teach this and preach this in such a way that the people of God who are involved in this time together will be strengthened, encouraged, and will be encouraged to be the salt and the light that you died to make us. And then, Father, there are those who will hear this who have not yet come to a saving knowledge of you. I pray, Father God, that you will bring them to a saving knowledge of yourself. And all this I ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Our Bibles are open to John chapter 13. We're going to begin with verse 1. Understand this going into it. Not many, if any, are born with a servant's heart. We are born with a me first attitude, are we not? Me first. You see, a servant's heart has to be developed. We're not born with it. It has to be developed. A servant's heart has to be developed. A servant's mindset must be developed. And that is often done, has to be done, really, through self-denial. Servant-mindedness can only be developed as we practice self-denial. We have to take the big I off the throne of our life and enthrone the Lord Jesus Christ on the throne of our life. The big I must come off. The big I has got to be put to death, co-crucified with Christ. Understand this. In order for us to become a child of God, in order for us to become a believer priest, Christ had to leave the glory of heaven. Christ Jesus had to leave the glory of heaven. He had to become robed, if you will, in humanity, minus, of course, the effects of the curse. We are subject to the effects of the curse. We have sickness, we have disease, we have all manner of problems that are connected with the curse. But Christ Jesus robed himself in humanity, minus the sickness and the disease. He was prone to weariness, just as we are. Prone to weariness. He got tired. He was prone to thirst, just as we are. As a matter of fact, on the cross, he said, "I thirst." What he would have given for a drink of cool, cold water. Instead, they gave him a mixture that he refused. So we are robed in humanity. He was not robed in sickness and disease. We are. He was robed in humanity minus sickness and disease. We are robed in humanity, prone to sickness, disease, hunger, pain, everything that's involved in humanity. He was not prone to sickness and disease. We are. Nothing could affect him. Nothing could infect him. He was not prone to sickness and disease. But yet, you must remember this. He had all the emotions of mankind. That's right. The Word of God says he was tempted at all points like we are in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Think of temptation as a satanic suggestion to the mind. That's how you need to view temptation. It's nothing more nor less than a suggestion to the mind from Satan. And we either have to receive his suggestion or reject his suggestion. And too many times I fear that the people of God receive his suggestion, follow his suggestion, and accomplish what he tempted us to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, the Word of God says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Day by day, that's a practice. We have to practice. We're up against this every day, folks. We're in the warfare every day. From the moment we get up in the morning till our eyes close and sleep at evening. We are in the warfare. It's a day by day, and many times, make no mistake about it, many times it's a moment by moment process. Christ Jesus faced the same thing. The Word of God says he was tempted in all points like we are, and yet without sin. Tempted in all points like we are, and yet without sin. Fully God, yes. Christ Jesus was fully God. And the same token, fully human. He took upon himself humanity. And he has come to that point in time on earth when his course on earth is almost finished. The shadow of the death looms over him. The shadow of the cross is before him. He knows that he will soon be fulfilling the plan that God had made from eternity past. You must understand that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, consulting together, before there was anything, made the plan as to what they were going to do, how they were going to do it. You have to understand that before he created anything, he understood you. He knew you. He knew the date of your birth, your bloodline. He knew the weaknesses in the bloodline. He knew everything about you before you were born. He also knew whether or not you would receive his invitation to be born again. He knew that. Before the foundation of the world, he knew who would and who would not receive the invitation to be born again. He comes into humanity with the cross, the shadow of the cross, before him. His course on earth at this point in time in this message is almost finished. He has almost completed everything the Father sent him to earth to do. The consummation of the plan that had been made in eternity past is about to be completed. It's just hours away. It's just hours away. He'll be nailed to a cross. His cross. Why do I say his cross? It was not unusual for them to crucify individuals, but his cross is different than any other cross. Because on that cross, he is the sacrifice for the sins of all who believe and receive. Because on that cross, he is going to embrace every sin of everyone who would ever believe and receive. He knows that when he is nailed to that cross, it's his cross. His and his alone. No one else has ever had a cross like it before. No one ever will. Son of God, Lamb of God, nailed to a cross so that he could become that sacrifice by which sinful man could be reconciled to holy God. His cross, the altar on which the sacrifice is to be made, and he was the sacrifice. Christ Jesus was the sacrifice for the sins of all who would believe and all who would receive, regardless of their past, regardless of how long they were in that past, regardless of all they were involved in that past. He was willing to receive those who would believe, willing to receive them to himself, put their sins to death in himself, make them new creations in Christ Jesus. Now we're going to join Jesus as disciples in their last meal together. We're in John chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. This is the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. This is the last meal that he will enjoy with his disciples. In John 13, 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Passover, that time that was held in remembrance of their deliverance from Egypt. But he knew that his hour had come. That hour that had been established in eternity past, that hour when he would be nailed to a cross, that hour in which he would take upon himself the sins of each and every individual who would ever believe and receive, that hour had come. That time had been set in place in eternity past. That precise moment in time had been established in eternity past before anything was created. Before anything was created, the plan was put into action. They knew what they were going to do. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit knew what they were going to do. They knew before the creation of the world about his crucifixion. They knew that he would be crucified. He knew that he on that cross would become everything that God hated so that we could become everything that God loves. In that crucifixion, you must understand this. On that cross, he took upon himself the sins of all who would believe and receive. And in that moment, my God, why have you forsaken me? God the Father could not look on God the Son, because God the Son had become everything that God detested, everything that God hated, because he had taken upon himself my sins, your sins, the sins of all who would believe. One of the most excruciatingly painful means of execution was the cross. Crucifixion was one of the most painful means of execution. And he knows he's going to be crucified. But he goes to the cross knowing that his crucifixion is going to be followed by his resurrection. They couldn't extinguish his life. They could take his human life, but they could not extinguish his life. And after, you know, the thing that amazes me, I say amazes me, well, I guess in the sense it pleases me as well, after his crucifixion, his appearance to Peter. Peter had denied him three times. Jesus had told Peter, "Peter, you're going to deny me." Peter didn't believe it. Peter did it. But, you know, the word tells us that he appeared to Peter. That had to be some meeting. I wonder what Peter was doing when Jesus showed up. I wonder what he was about. Was he somewhere in the house? Was he outside the house? Where was he? But Jesus shows up. He appears to Peter. We're not made privy to any of the conversation that took place between them. Maybe there was no conversation. Maybe Jesus just showed up in his resurrected body. But let Peter know, "Peter, I'm resurrected." Then we have his appearance to his disciples and to others. We have the two on the road to Emmaus. In Luke chapter 24, verse 33, we recall that Jesus had met them on the road to Emmaus and walked along with them, and they didn't recognize him who he was until he stopped to have, they invited him to eat with them. And he broke bread, he blessed the bread, and disappeared from their sight. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." He spoke of his departure from earth and his return to glory, his return to the Father. He talked about that. He spoke about that. He was going to be received back home. But having loved his own, those the Father had given him, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end of his life and beyond. John 13:2, "And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, at some point in time, exactly when, we're not told. But Satan made the suggestion to Judas." You have to ask yourself, why Judas? Why of all the apostles, disciples, did Satan choose Judas? Because he knew he was a weak link in the chain. He had examined the apostles. He'd been watching, listening, observing, and he knew that Judas was the weak link in the chain. He made the suggestion to Judas, why don't you drop this thing? Why don't you get out of this? It's not going anywhere. You had expected him to assume a position of power and authority. Judas, you had expected him to rise to a position of power and authority, and here he is talking about dying. Judas, get out of this thing. So Judas received the suggestion. Judas was open to this satanic suggestion. And I wonder how many times that's occurred in your life, my life. How many times has Satan made the suggestion and we received it? How often have we done that? Now it's happened to Judas. Judas is an apostle. He witnessed everything Christ did. He heard all that Christ taught. He witnessed everything that Jesus did. He was there listening to everything that Jesus taught. He himself, Judas, had been enabled and empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ to do absolute wonderful works for the kingdom of God. He had been enabled. He had been empowered. And he wasn't touched by any of it. Touched by any of it. How often has that happened? With how many has that happened? We experience the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the providence of God. We experience God in his love and mercy and grace, and yet somehow it doesn't touch us the way it should touch us. It does not impact us the way it should impact us. How often has that happened? John 13:3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, Jesus, knowing he had total power and authority, he knew that. He knew he had total power and authority over all of nature. He knew that. He had total power over all of humanity. He had total power. He had total authority over everything in creation. Jesus knew where he came from. And Jesus knew where he was going. No doubt in his mind. He knew who he was. But with all of that knowledge, and with all of who he was, and all he had done, and all he was yet going to do, John 13:4, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel and with which he was girded. Picture this. They're sitting there, laying there eating. They weren't sitting in chairs. They were laying at the table. He gets up from the table, and he takes off his outer garment, folds it, lays it aside, no doubt. And that left him standing there clothed in his undergarment. God in the flesh. Standing there clothed in his undergarment. And then he gets water, pours it into a basin, and he goes around the table. He begins to wash the feet of his disciples. Now you have to remember now, they are reclining at the table. They're not sitting. They are reclining on the floor. So their feet are out behind them. And he goes around the table and he's washing their feet and drying them. God in the flesh, washing feet. God in the flesh, drying feet. Have you ever stopped to think? They hear you have the Messiah. God in the flesh. Don't lose sight of that. The Messiah. God in the flesh, washing feet. That was a task of a household servant. You don't expect to see God in the flesh, the Messiah, washing feet. No, that's the task of a household servant. But he set an example. He is setting an example for the disciples then and for his disciples now. Folks, you need ears to hear this. We're not there. We're not there. Most of us are not there. He was setting an example for his disciples then, his disciples now. So, each and every one of us must pause. Listen to me. Slow down. Look inside. Ask ourselves, am I there? Am I there? This is God in the flesh, performing the duties of a household servant. A household servant in the lowest part of the system. And here he is taking upon himself the role of a household servant and washing dirty feet. Washing dirty feet. I say again, we've got to ask ourselves, am I there? Am I there? We're instructed to be there. We're instructed to do so. The Word of God says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Bob, you're saying to me that I should develop a servant's heart and a servant's mind? No, I'm not saying that to you. God says that to you. Jesus sets the example. Jesus is God of the flesh. Disrobed his outer garments, gets a basin and fills it with water, starts walking around the table, washing the feet of the disciples, dirty, dirty feet. He's washing them and then drying them. And the Word of God says that we're to have that mindset. How many of us really are there? How many of us really have that kind of mindset? How many? In John 13:6, then he came to Simon Peter. And Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you'll never wash my feet. Oh, Peter, 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 you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. You've got to allow me to minister to you. And Peter, what I'm about to do now in simply kneeling here and washing your feet is nothing compared to what I'm going to do, Peter. Yes, I'm kneeling here. I'm washing dirty feet. But Peter, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be crucified. And hanging on that cross, as though I'm neither fit nor heaven nor hell, I am going to take upon myself your sins, Peter, and the sins of everybody at this table, including all who will ever believe, all who will ever receive, regardless of what they had been in the past, regardless of the depth and depravity of the sins they had committed, regardless of the depth and depravity of the lifestyle they were involved in, I am going to go to the cross. And I'm going to embrace all their sins and pull those sins to me for everyone who will believe. For everyone who will believe and receive, I am going to embrace their sins and pull their sins to myself. And then I'm going to put their sins to death in myself, because when I die, their sins will die in me. When Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet, and Jesus answered saying, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Boy, you want to talk about quick repentance, but there's a message there. Folks, there's a quick message there for us. Quick repentance. The very moment I realize I have quenched the Spirit of God, the very moment I realize I have grieved the Spirit of God, the very moment that I have realized I have disobeyed God, I need to repent right then. You don't have to run off and get on your knees in this private place. You can keep doing what you're doing and say, Lord, the thought was wrong. Jesus, my reaction was wrong. My response was wrong. I call it sin. I'm confessing my sin. Cleanse me, Lord. That's what Peter's saying. You want to talk about quick repentance? He says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He says, cleanse me thoroughly, Lord. Cleanse me. Make me every bit clean. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. He knew. He knew he had a traitor sitting at the table. He knew he had just washed the feet of the man who was going to betray him. In effect, he says to Peter, here, you have bathed, but you've been walking in dirt today. Isn't that true of us? We've been cleansed by the blood of Christ, but every day we're walking in a sin-cursed, sin-darkened world. We've been cleansed by the blood of Christ, but every day we're walking around the filth that's in this world. The question is how much of it attaches to us. How much of the filth of the world attaches to us? That's why we need a daily cleansing through repentance. And sometimes, several times during the day, we need a cleansing through repentance. Because you understand this, we walk in the midst of spiritual filth every day. Every day of the world, we're walking in the midst of spiritual filth. And many, listen to me carefully, many even in the church are involved in spiritual filth every day. Judas was at the table. Jesus washed his feet. What must have gone through both their minds, I wonder? The mind of Judas. I can just hear Judas saying, this is not shaken out the way I had planned. He is not going to exercise power and authority and control. He's not going to occupy a position of preeminence. He's not going to replace Roman authority. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I didn't buy into this for a servant's heart and a servant's mind and to wash feet. I'm out of here. You see, Judas had anticipated Jesus rising to a position of authority in the nation. He had anticipated being a part of that system governed by Jesus. Now Jesus is speaking of his impending death. That was contrary to the planning of Judas. Judas is saying to himself, I didn't buy into this for this. I expected more out of this. I expected to be in a position of power and authority myself because of my association with him. The mind of Christ Jesus. We know the mind of Christ. He knew what Judas was thinking. He knew what Judas was. He knew what Judas had in mind. Judas, Christ knew Judas was going to betray him, but he still washed his feet. Still washed his feet. John 13:11, speaking of Jesus, for he knew all who would betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. Jesus washed the feet of Judas, the betrayer. Judas had every opportunity like any other of the disciples, but he didn't have the heart. He had the same opportunity as Peter and the rest of them, but he didn't have the heart. He simply didn't have the heart. John 13:12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you?
That's what Jesus asked him.
He says, do you know what I've done to you? Do you understand what just happened? I just gave you an example of the kind of mindset you should have. You should have a servant's heart and a servant's mindset. You call me Lord, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. I am all that you say I am, and more. If I then have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Be to others and to others what I've just been to you. Boy, if we only had that mindset today, If only that mindset permeated each of us, there'd be no such thing as strife and division and church splits. Those things would be a thing of the past. John 13:15, Jesus said, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. What I have just been to you, you should be to others. That is, a willingness to be Christ-like towards them. Where are we together in this? How willing are we to be Christ-like towards those around us, regardless of who they are, regardless of what they are? Just how willing are we to be Christ-like? John 13:16, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. See, there's a spiritual reality that each of us who claim the name of Christ need to come to grips with. Here it is. Bottom line. Am I willing to be servant-minded? Am I willing to be servant-minded? Am I willing to submit and surrender myself to the Lordship of Christ Jesus in order to have a servant's mind implanted in me? Am I really willing to receive a servant's mind, regardless of whatever the opposition may be that I may be up against? Am I still willing to execute and to have a servant's mind, regardless of what I bump into, regardless of the opposition that I may meet? Am I willing for the Holy Spirit to develop that mindset in me? Am I willing? Am I open to it? Folks, this is reality. We're to do this. But we need to ask ourselves, am I willing for that to happen in my life? Am I really truly willing to have the Holy Spirit develop the mind of Christ in me, regardless of my past position, whatever that position may have been, regardless of my past achievements, whatever I've achieved in life? I achieved because he enabled me and empowered me to do so. But am I willing to lay aside my past positions, whatever authority I may have had? Am I willing to lay aside my past achievements, whatever they may have been? Am I really, really, truly willing to lay all that apart, lay all that aside, in order to receive the mind of Christ, a servant's heart, a servant's mind? We come to our last verse, John 13:17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. He says to them, you will be blessed in doing as I have done. And that's true of us. You will be blessed in doing as I have done. Lord, give me, I pray, in Jesus' name, a heart and the mind of yourself. Heavenly Father, the greatest thing beyond salvation that you can do for me is create in me, enable me, empower me to receive a servant's heart, to receive a servant's mind, to be willing to be used by you and for you in whatever circumstance or situation you see fit to use me. And so, Father, as best I know my heart, I'm willing to submit. I'm willing to surrender. I am willing to be to you and for you all you would have me to be to you and for you. And whatever that means about what you would have me to be to and for others, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to be willing, Father. And so I present myself to you as a living sacrifice, asking you to put in my heart and do with me what only you can do. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.